श्री परमात्मने नमः। गीता प्रबोधनी कॉन्साइज कमेंट्री ऑन श्रीमद् भगवद् गीता बाय स्वामी राम सुखदास महाराज जी। चैप्टर 12 वर्स 1-12। द लॉर्ड प्रोनाउंसेस हिज वर्डिक्ट हू इज सुपीरियर वर्शिपर ऑफ गॉड एंड मेंशंस फोर स्पिरिचुअल पाथ्स टू गॉड रियलाइजेशन। Chapter 12, verse 1. Arjuna uvacha, evam satata yuktaye, bhaktastvam paryupasate, yecha pyaksharam avyaktam, tesham ke yoga vittamaha. Arjuna said, those devotees who ever steadfast worship you thus with form and attributes, Saguna, according to Gita chapter 11, verse 55, and those who worship the imperishable and the unmanifest, Nirguna, which of these two is better versed in yoga? Chapter 12, verse 2. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, Maya Vesha Mano Yeyam Nitya Yukta Upasate Shraddhaya Parayopetaha Teme Yukta Tamamataha. The Blessed Lord said, those who, fixing their mind on me, ever steadfast and endowed with supreme faith, worship me with form and attributes, Saguna, are the most perfect in yoga, in my opinion. Comment. Even though both the knowledge and devotion both are equal in removing man's sorrows, yet the glory of devotion is greater than that of knowledge. With knowledge, one can experience constant, uninterrupted joy, but devotion is more glorious than knowledge because in knowledge there is akhanda or integral relish, bliss, but in devotion there is infinite relish. Infinite relish increases every moment. Just as in this world, when you first come to know that this is paper currency or money, with this knowledge, ignorance will be erased. Similarly, with the knowledge of real nature of things, tattva jnana, only ignorance is wiped out. When ignorance is washed away, sorrow, fear, the cycle of birth and death all come to an end. But devotion is much more wonderful than knowledge. Just like after having gained the knowledge that this is money, ignorance about money is wiped out. But if one develops greed for money, then there is experience of immense relish from the desire for more and more money. The immense relish experienced from the attraction for object is not experienced by just knowledge about the object. In the same way, in devotion, there is an exceptional relish. Knowledge is relished by self, Swayam, but love is realized by God Himself. God is not hungry for knowledge, but He is hungry for love. Therefore, the prema, or love, is far superior and is more advanced stage to salvation. Knowledge of self, tattva jnana, seeing the self, atma sakshatkara, and singleness of state, kaivalya. In the path of knowledge, due to the discrimination between the real, is, and unreal, is not, the subtle impressions of the unreal, the subtle ego, persist for a long time. This subtle ego remains even after salvation. Due to remaining of subtle ego, even though one is freed from future births, one cannot experience the oneness with God. Also, mutual philosophical differences are perceived because of impression of one's opinion, and these differences remain for a long time. But with the blossoming of love of God, one loses one's own identity and becomes one with God. Hereafter, all philosophical and ideological differences will end. Chapter 12, verse 3 and 4. Yetvaksharam anirdesham avyaktam paryupasate sarvatra gamachintayancha kutasthamachalam dhruvam. Sanniyam yendriya gramam sarvatra samabuddhayah te prapnuvanti mameva sarvabhutahite ratah. But those who worship the imperishable, the indefinable, the unmanifest, the omnipresent, the unthinkable, the immovable, the unchanging and the eternal, while restraining all their senses, being even-minded everywhere, and engrossed in and devoted to the welfare of all beings, they too attain me. Comment. The characteristics of Brahma, omnipresent, unthinkable, unchangeable, immovable, imperishable, unmanifest, etc., that have been depicted here are the same as the characteristics of an embodied soul, Jivatma. The reason for calling the marks to be the same in both is to show that essentially the embodied soul and Brahma are one and the same. Due to the assumed relationship with the body or various forms, the embodied soul, when detached from the body, becomes one form, ekrupa, Brahma in other words. The embodied soul is separate only due to its assumed identity with the body or individuality of the body. Otherwise, it is Brahma only. Therefore, in the path of knowledge, after realizing Brahma, the aspirant and his goal become one and the same. Mama sadharmaya magataha. Gita chapter 14 verse 2. God with attributes, saguna, and the attributeless, absolute reality, nirguna, they are both God's descriptions. In fact, God is exclusively only one. Therefore, the worshippers of the attributeless, absolute reality, nirguna, attainment to Him only is described, te prapnuvanti mameva. The significance of God's message is, the attributeless absolute is also God's form, and it is not separate from His entire form, samagra. Generally, the aspirant of the path of knowledge remains unattached with the world. Actually, the detachment should be from the body and not from the world. By mere disassociation with the world, expression of individuality or ego is not abandoned. Until the aspirant does not experience complete detachment from the body consciousness, simply by isolating himself from the world, living in solitude alone, his spiritual practices will not be perfected. This is because the body is a part or limb of the world. So long as he identifies himself with the body and he remains attached to it, automatically there is a relationship with the entire world. To renounce attachment to the body consciousness, it is essential for the aspirant to remain engrossed in the welfare of all beings. Chapter 12, verse 5. Klesho dhikatarastesham avyakta sakta chetasam avyakta hi gatir dukkham deva vadbhiravapyate. Those who set their mind on the realization of the unmanifest nirguna Brahma or impersonal God experience great difficulty in their spiritual practice, for the goal of the unmanifest is hard and painful to reach by the body conscious embodied beings. Comment. Among the worshippers of the Nirguna Brahma, that is attributeless and formless God, the one who is attached to the body is the embodied soul or Jivatma, while the one who is detached from the body, is the object of worship, Brahma. The assumed relationship with the body itself is the embodied soul, Jivatma, and is the primary obstacle in realizing the oneness with Brahma. For the body conscious beings, perfection in reaching the goal of the attributeless God is difficult and takes a long time. But worship of God with form and attributes, the primary obstacle is turning away, vimukta, from God and not the consciousness of the body. Hence, an aspirant of God with form turns away from the world and turns towards God, Sanmukha Hona. He, instead of depending on a specific spiritual practice, he depends only on God. Then God, by showering His grace, immediately leads him to salvation. Refer Gita chapter 8 verse 14, chapter 12 verse 7. This is the immense glory of worshipping God with form and attributes. Chapter 12 verse 6. Yetu sarvani karmani maisanyasa matparaha ananyenaiva yogena mam dhyayanta upasate. Those who worship me, surrendering all actions to me, regarding me as the supreme goal, meditating on me with single-minded devotion. Comment. Just like Jnana Yogi, one who follows the path of knowledge, understands that all actions are performed by nature, prakriti, by fully detaching from actions, becomes free from the bondage of actions. In the same manner, Bhakti Yogi, a devotee of God, surrenders all actions to God and thus attains the freedom from the bondage of actions. I am only God's and not anyone else's, and only God is my very own, and no one else is my very own. This acceptance in itself is referred to as worship of God with single-minded devotion. Chapter 12, verse 7. Tesham aham samuddhartaha mrityu samsara sagarata bhavami nachirat partha maya veshita chetasam. O Partha, for those devotees whose minds are fixed on me, I straightway deliver them from the ocean of death-bound existence, that is, samsara. Comment. In Gita chapter 6 verse 5, Lord had said in general to all aspirants to lift themselves up by themselves. Uddhare dātmanātmanam. But here the Lord says that He Himself lifts them. It means that in the beginning every aspirant engages himself in spiritual practices. However, the devotee who takes refuge in God, his salvation is made possible by the Lord Himself. That devotee, instead of being worried about his salvation, he remains exclusively engaged in reciting His name in loving devotion. Both his goal and means are God only. But the one who follows the path of knowledge, his salvation is dependent on his own self. Chapter 12, verse 8. Mayeva mana adhatsva, mai buddhim niveshaya, nivasishyasi mayeva, ata urdhvamna samshayaha. Fix your mind on me alone and let your intellect dwell in me. In me alone you shall live thereafter. Of this there is no doubt. Comment. Mind and intellect are Lord's apara prakriti or lower nature. Refer Gita chapter 7 verse 4 and 5. Though apara prakriti being God's power, due to its innate and ever-changing characteristics, it has different nature from God. But para prakriti or higher nature, the individual soul's innate nature is not separate from God. Therefore, in fact, the mind and intellect cannot be fixed on God, but only the self can become engaged in God. Hence, in Gita, whenever the Lord refers to fixing the mind and intellect on Him, in fact, it is being said about engaging the self only in God. By engaging the mind and intellect in God, mind and intellect do not get engaged, but the self gets engaged in God. Nivasishyasi mayeva. The reason is that it is the nature of the embodied soul to get engaged in that in which the mind and intellect get engaged. Just like wherever the needle goes, the thread also follows. Similarly, wherever the mind and intellect go, the self also follows. By giving importance to the world and by establishing a relationship with it, the mind and intellect get engaged in the world. Once the mind and intellect are engaged in the world, the embodied soul also automatically becomes engaged in the world. Hence, in order to detach from the world, Lord commands the embodied soul to fix the mind and intellect on Him only. By attempting to engage the mind and intellect in God, they do not get fixed on God, instead they merge in God, because at the root of it, apara prakriti is also God's nature. Once the mind and intellect are immersed in God, their independent existence does not remain, but only God remains. Question: mind, intellect are the instruments of action, whereas embodied soul is the doer. The instruments are dependent on the doer. Wherever the doer is engaged, there the instrument of action also gets engaged. And wherever the instrument of action is engaged, there the doer is also engaged. What is the appropriateness of this statement? Swamiji's answer. In the fulfillment of actions, the instrument of action is very useful. Sadhaktam karanam. Just like Bali was killed with Lord Rama's arrow, in this statement, the arrow is the instrument. Because the arrow became the means causing the death of Bali and not the bow, the bowstring or the hand, etc. Of all the instruments, the intellect is the best instrument which an aspirant, a sadhak, has, which he engages in God. In the Upanishads, the body is referred as the chariot, the individual soul as the passenger, jivatma, the sense organs are the horses, the mind is the rein, and the intellect is the charioteer. Buddhim tu sarathim viddhi. Kathopanishad, chapter 1, section 3, verse 3. The chariot, the horses, and the rein remain outside the king's palace. The charioteer goes inside the palace. Then the king alone, the individual self who was the passenger, goes to the inner quarters, and the charioteer goes back outside. In other words, the aspirant's intellect can reach up to God, but is unable to capture God. Only the self can reach God. Chapter 12, verse 9. Atha chittam samadhatum nashaknyoshi mai sthiram abhyasa yogena tataha mami chapatum dhananjaya. If you are unable to fix your mind steadily on me, then seek to reach me by abhyasa yoga, that is, the discipline of constant yoga practice, divine name, etc., having God as your aim, O Dhananjaya. Arjuna, winner of wealth. Comment: worshipful adoration and name repetition, nama japa, etc., when done with the objective of God realization, is abhyasa yoga. If there is only practice and no aim for union with God, then this act creates a new state which is not spiritually beneficial. To control the mind and to bring it back again and again to remain fixed on God is called practice or abhyas. Refer Gita chapter 6 verse 26. But in the discipline of practice or yoga, it is not about controlling the mind, but it is about severing one's relationship with the mind. Chapter 12 verse 10. Abhyasepya samarthosi mat karma paramo bhava madartham api karmani kurvan siddhim avapsyasi. If you are unable to perform the yoga of practice as said above, be intent on doing actions for me, for my sake, even by performing selfless actions for my sake, you shall attain perfection. Comment. It is easier to dedicate all actions to God than following the yoga of practice. The reason is that doing yoga of practice is doing a new task which one is compelled to do, whereas the actions or kriya happen automatically as per one's natural tendency to engage in actions. By offering and entrusting all worldly and divine actions to God, human being can easily realize God. Refer Gita chapter 9 verse 27 and 28. Chapter 12 verse 11. Athai tadapya shaktosi kartu madyogamashritaha sarva karma palatyagam tata kuru yatatmavan. If you are unable to do even this, that is, perform actions for me, the discipline mentioned in the previous verse, then taking refuge in me, subduing or controlling the senses, mind and intellect, etc., that is, equanimity, renounce the desire for fruits of all actions. Comment. If an aspirant is unable to dedicate all actions to God, in other words, if an aspirant is not able to perform all actions for God's sake, then he must perform work according to his ordained duty and abandon the desire for fruit of all his actions, because it is only the desire for fruits which is the cause of his bondage. Phale sakto nibadhyate, Gita chapter 5 verse 12. By abandoning the desire for the fruit of his dutiful work, one becomes detached from the world. Chapter 12 verse 12. Shreyo hi jnanam abhyasacha jnana dhyanam vishishyate. Dhyanat karma palatyagah tyagat chantir anantaram. Knowledge of scriptures is better than mere practice. Meditation is better than knowledge, and superior to meditation is the renunciation of the desire for fruit of actions. Eternal peace immediately follows renunciation. Comment. Practice, knowledge of scriptures and meditation, these three are karnasapeksha, dependent on instruments. But renunciation of fruit of action is karana nirapeksha, independent of instruments. As such, all of the four means are excellent, and they are for those aspirants whose aim is renunciation. But the reason for declaring renunciation of fruit to be better is that the people regard it as inferior to other spiritual disciplines. Rather, of all the different renunciations, renunciation of desire for fruit of action is superior. Refer Gita chapter 18 verse 11. Among the four means mentioned in this verse, madhartham api karmani, performance of actions for God's sake, refer Gita chapter 12 verse 10, devotion is not included. The reason is that the spiritual discipline culminates in devotion. Hence, both devotion and renunciation are excellent means. Renunciation of the fruit of action means renunciation of desire for the fruit of action. Desire is internal, while renunciation of the fruit is external. Even when the fruit of action is renounced, the desire within may still linger. Consequently, an aspirant should aim at the renunciation of the desire for the fruit of action. When the desire is renounced, then there is no reason left for continuing the birth and death cycle. Salvation is not attained by renouncing the things, but is attained by renouncing desires. It is for that reason, in Gita, there is so much more stress laid on the renunciation of desire for the fruit of action. The easiness or difficulty of any method depends on aspirant's liking and aim. When liking and aim is God only, the spiritual discipline becomes easier. But when liking is for the world and aim is of God realization, then the discipline is difficult. Narayana, Narayana, Narayana.